like to welcome everyone to the April 21st, 2016 meeting of the Design Review Board. First item on the agenda is roll call.
Chair Tolini.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Krasinski.
Here.
Board Member Chong. Board Member Cousins.
Here.
Board Member Emerson.
Here.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is oral communications. If there's anyone here who would like to bring anything to our attention that is not on tonight's agenda, now is the opportunity to do so. Seeing none, move on to staff briefing.
Yes, I just want to let anybody in the public know that if you're here for item number 12225 Estazo East Street, that application has been continued to the May 5th Design Review Board meeting.
Thank you. So that will bring us to two items of new business, since we are skipping 2225 Estazo East, since that's been continued. So the first item on tonight's agenda is 4000 Paradise Drive. As the applicant here, floor is yours. If you would, please come up and tell us about the project. You can take up to 20 minutes if you want. Obviously, how much time you take is up to you. And after that, we'll open it up for members of the public. Thanks.
Could take the microphone with you. We're recording it.
Thanks.
Convoluted.
Yeah.
Site layout here. The residence itself is kind of placed over in this narrow portion here. One of the things, reasons why we're asking for the variance is that because of the existing location and that kind of thing of the residence itself, it makes it extremely difficult to do anything there without getting some kind of a variance. So we are asking for this front yard variance. It's currently, house currently sits 22 feet from the property line. We're asking for 20 on that little addition there. Basically, we're just popping out the kitchen 5 feet in both directions, adding a little pantry, coat room here, a new access from the carport, because currently there is no direct access from the carport to the residence. It makes it difficult to get in and out. A new sunroom here. And then a little bit of addition here on the first floor to create a new closet. And on the lower floor, the only thing we're really doing is closing in a little piece here and making this into an office, a little home office. These walls here are just the support walls for the upper floor. Exterior-wise, the existing front elevation is fairly plain right now. It's just a straight shot with a straight roof going all the way through. We wanted to, along with the addition, we wanted to dress up the front a little bit. So we want to add this popped-up entry structure here with a new door and transom windows and some stone pillars on it, a couple of new skylights there. The north side elevation doesn't look much different from what's there right now, but this is a new elevation that's existing, but it's just popped out farther, and this is the sunroom there. We are also want to add a little ramp that comes down. carport, to, there's like a little wooden entryway, bridge here that goes into the, to the entry. And, so again, there's really no access, accessibility wise from this carport to the home. So that's why we want to add the ramp. We meet all the height requirements and that kind of thing. We're under the square footage for the FAR and coverage. Landscaping, we're really not doing too much other than we are adding some new landscaping in the immediate entry area here on each side of the ramp and a new little walkway down. Because right now it's just kind of a hodgepodge of stuff there in the front. All the exterior materials and everything are going to match what's there right now. And I think everything else we're in conformance with. So that's all I have.
I had a couple questions. Did anyone else have any questions? So the fence that's there now, is that built on the lot line, or is that built in kind of the right-of-way of the road? Or I just didn't see it on the survey, so I was, as a reference point, I couldn't quite tell where it was. Do you know?
I think that might be in the right-of-way a little bit.
Okay. And that's not, I don't mean that as like a, did you build a fence improperly? I just mean like
sure
a...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay. That was... that and just trying to understand exactly like where the, I know there's no curb so to speak, but the edge of the pavement is, were just kind of a couple reference points for me, because the lot line and the curve of it and everything else is just so unusual. It was just, it was actually hard to kind of tell where that is. So, okay, thanks. Any other questions? Okay, thanks. Are there any members of the public here with any comment on 4000 Paradise Drive? Seeing none, you know, we ordinarily turn it back over to you to address any comments raised. Obviously, there have been none, so I think with that, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board. Who would like to start?
Us.
Linda Beaton.
I think that it's incremental changes that I don't mind. They're under the house, or they make nice, I mean, I think they change what's, you know, what kind of was a plain-looking house into something a little nicer, and of course the access is a necessity. And I don't have a problem with it. There's nobody around that really sees it, and since the existing house is already in the setback, it's already there, and 2 feet really doesn't make that, it's not live or die in my book, so I'm behind the project.
Okay, thanks, Linda. John?
Yeah, I agree with Linda. I think it's an intelligent design. I think it will enhance the house as it is, and with no other variances but the setback, I can certainly get behind that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. You know, that area by Seaforth, the lots tend to be generous and pretty well wooded, and when I went out and visited it, it was pretty clear that the project wasn't going to have a lot of impact on the neighbors. And I agree with staff's conclusion on the reduced front setback.
I agree with the wife.
Likewise, you know, obviously there's an existing non-conforming structure that's there, and you know, this is a modest de minimis request to make that more usable. So,
as to 400 Paradise Drive, I move that the project is categorically exempt from CEQA and that it be approved with the attached conditions of approval.
All in favor? Or sorry, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. That's it for 4000 Paradise Drive. Do you want the extra sets of plans for set bids with contractors?
Yeah. Okay.
As you wish.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
So we'll give you a minute to take the plans down for the next applicant to come up, but. Obviously, the last and second item on the agenda is 2 Audrey Court. So we'll get started with that in 1 minute if the applicant wants to come up. Are these all identical?
Yes, they're all.
I'll get one of us over. Thanks. All right, whenever you're ready, if you would start just by introducing yourself and feel free to take, again, up to 20 minutes to talk about the project, and then we'll open up for public comment after that.
All right, I appreciate it. First of all, for anyone else out there, I have a bunch of these packets over there. It's kind of the agenda as well as some supporting documents and stuff like that. As far as the introduction, my name is Arvand. My wife, Shalise, and I purchased the property at 2 Audrey Court last year during the summer, and we're in the process of moving in now. Before I get started with the presentation, as you can see from the late mail packet and some of the other correspondence that's been sent over to me by the planning division, there's been a lot of issues with the upstairs extension of this property. I discussed this with Dan yesterday from planning in order to maybe even postpone this meeting so we could present something different. He mentioned that it would probably be best to come and present what my thoughts are and also get your thoughts so that we can come up with something better for a subsequent meeting. With that in mind, after reviewing the letters and certainly after the story polls went up, it was pretty obvious of the impact, and we moved to this area because of the views, and we plan to live in there. We're not extending the property and selling it. So if we are taking away something from our neighbors that we cherish, that's just not the right thing to do. And so we do plan on completely removing the upstairs extension as far as the additions go in a subsequent submittal. But I thought, you know, it's a good time to describe the other aspects of this addition now and why we put in this application. To move through what I've kind of put in front of you guys there, we went quickly and just changed the elevations a little bit by removing the entire upstairs addition. I've highlighted the additions as they would be, say, for a subsequent meeting. Those are just all very minor, as you can see. They're way under the roof line and away from any of the neighbors' views. It's one on the main floor. It's a garage conversion and a new garage built. And the other is just an extension of the downstairs, which is essentially the secondary dwelling unit. The documents also outline the new FAR exception. The original FAR exception was 1421. If you take out the entire upstairs extension, it actually ends up being 737. But moving on, I wanted to kind of start off by saying what the premise of the request was, what we tried to achieve, what we did, you know, what we submitted, and what it is doing, and then finally going on to kind of a conclusion and the zoning justification, from my perspective anyways. As far as the premise, before we purchased the property, we were aware of that 2006 case where this property went through this same process. Something was approved but it was never put into action. As a result, we figured that even if what was approved was controversial, at the very least, if we put something into play that was acceptable to our neighbors and the board, that we might be able to get a similar exception once we purchase the property. There was also a resolution that we dug up. It was for a permit of a second dwelling unit back in the 80s. And there's still 2 meters and clearly a separate entrance into that unit at the property, though the relations between the main residence and the second unit is very blurred. As far as kind of the physical issues with the main residence, there's really only 2 total usable rooms. There's one upstairs, which is our master bedroom. When you consider a master bedroom sized room, that seems pretty small for it. It's just the bedroom. And then the second room is on the main floor, and they're both on different stories. So this property doesn't have any rooms that are on the same floor. They're all spread out across several different floors. And so the goal here is, once I present the additions, is to fix that, is to actually make it into a main residence and a very small in-law unit. As far as how we thought about the additions, and I'll go into this, really 3 different sections. One being the upstairs, which the letters and the view impacts are about. Initially, that was thought of to put the two rooms that we wanted on the same floor, which is the top floor. And we went that route because we didn't want to take on any lot coverage. But obviously, as you go up, you have other impacts, the view impacts. And so not knowing exactly, I mean, we tried to minimize the view impact by not going all the way across the entire first floor. We went halfway over. And even then, once we put up the story poles, it was very obvious of the impact. But before that, we thought that maybe if that's too impactful, a second option, which is the second section, is a garage conversion. We would do it on the main floor. It would not affect any of the neighbors. But the problem with that, as you're aware, is the coverage, because we would have to build a new garage right next to it. The staff report mentioned something about a turnaround as far as that garage conversion. Right now, the space that's outside the garage isn't really adequate for a turnaround anyways. I personally never turned around on site. I've always backed out into the street. A lot of the neighbors that I've seen also back out to the same street, so I'm not sure that's really an issue here. And then the third section of this whole addition is for that second unit. And what we're attempting to do here is get rid of those extra staircases that exist between the main residence and the secondary dwelling unit, and actually make it a small self-contained unit by creating, you know, an extra bedroom there and a kitchen, because it has its own entrance as of right now. It's a weird setup, as you can see from the current plans. As far as going into the zoning and justification, I did some legwork. I went to the Marin County Assessor's website. I pulled up the map. It's the map of our neighborhood. If you go up Lifford, turn left on Acela, you kind of see all the lots. I've highlighted our lot. I've also gone ahead and put into a spreadsheet the lot square footage and the living area of all essentially 24 lots in that division. And just to explain the spreadsheet a little bit, the very far right column outlines the over under floor area as of today's zoning standards, and the red ones are over the current floor area allowance, and that makes up 60% of the 24 lots. Out of the 40% that are left, 20% of those are standard lots, 20,000 square foot or more. So essentially, the last 20%, which our property is one of, is a substandard lot, less than 20,000 square feet, that hasn't gotten any sort of floor area exception. So with that, you know, if we said that given what the problems are with the property as far as the internal relations of it. And a 700 square foot addition would solve those problems and still be under the average square foot addition that similar properties have gotten over the allowance. It would essentially satisfy what we would like to do, and we would very much appreciate it. If there's any questions or any comments, I'd definitely like to address them at this point. I also want to just mention, I did include a staff report from 2006. It includes answers to the exact same questions, so you can review those as well.
Any questions for the applicant?
You don't have any plans for the revised proposals?
No, all of this was put together in the last few days. Like I said, I was planning on extending this meeting. We can put together plans, but essentially that's, you know, the upstairs is going to go.
Yeah.
I thought it was the little ones you submitted in the
yeah,
package.
Yeah, just the little
okay.
ones, but
yeah.
you don't have actual official plans.
No
right,
plan
and the story plans don't reflect it, et cetera. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I knew what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant? Okay. Thanks. We'll open it up to members of the public, and they'll get a chance to talk, and then we'll bring you back up, and you'll have up to 5 minutes to respond. Okay. So with that, we'll open it up for members of the public to comment on 2 Audrey Court. We'd like to lead off. And I would just ask that you, sorry.
I've been here before, I'll speak in the microphone.
Okay.
I was wondering if these are the latest plans or these are the ones that were submitted already?
Well, we've been given these revised elevations, which basically show the upper floor taken off.
Okay.
But it's not a formal submittal.
The north view, because that'll settle a lot of things for us.
Right, these.
This is going to have to
so
come
this
back.
Is
it's going to have to
we're
come
not
back.
Going to approve anything based on
yeah.
these little plans that don't have story poles, so take
sure
that into account. Okay.
And I'm sorry, I only have one copy to pass around.
Okay. So if you would please just start with your name and address.
Yes.
Thanks.
My name is Mark Grudy. My address is 10815 Minnesota Avenue in Pengrove. And what am I doing here? Well, I'm helping my friends Mike and Kathy King solve some problems, and so I've had only a couple of days to sort of review this, and now.
And I'm sorry, the Kings live at 6, is that
six,
right?
I'm
okay,
sorry.
Thank you.
6.
So what I'm going to do is flip over your PowerPoint.
Right. And I should also just note to members of the public, you know, as a general matter, either all of us or nearly all of us, you know, visit the sites. We've also, you know, read all of the late mail received to date. So, you know, please just take that for granted, if you will, in providing your comments and keeping it under 3 minutes.
Well, first of all, we are always for the ability of a homeowner to improve their property and make it look nicer, particularly in this case. And we don't want to deny something that's reasonable. But now that the elevation has changed and they're doing away with that addition up in the top, there were just a couple of things I wanted to mention. One is that in their submittal, this is the real roof line as it is. This is apparently just a copy of this, and nothing is being done on this side anyway. So I'm going to assume that they're going to submit more accurate plans later. And the other thing was that Mr. King has lived there for a long time, and the previous owner or two one day erected a high ridge at the top of the roof, and all of a sudden it was there, and he really didn't know what to do about it. So I think that we would support something where they could come down the back, do the turnaround they need, and perhaps place the We hope you get the space you need, because it is a basket case. I got one question. There's two master suites in this house, as I understand it, in addition to the second unit? No? Okay.
Sorry, it's not a Q&A sort of thing. He's addressing questions to us, and then you can come up in your 5 minutes. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right. And I should just note, it certainly sounds like at the applicant's direction, we're not necessarily, taking action on this item tonight in terms of an approval, given the presence of the number of comments that have been received from the neighbors. So, we will do our best to, I think, provide guidance. And while we haven't discussed it as a board yet, in all likelihood, some sort of continuance to a future meeting, whereby we'll, in all likelihood, discuss, some sort of revised set of plans. So, in any event, I thought I'd recap that before we continue. But whoever's next, if you'd please come up and just start again with your name and address, and we'll rudely cut you off in 3 minutes. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Mark Casillas. My wife, Natalia, and I have lived at 8 Bartell Court since 1987. The 200 Court property was constructed before we moved in, so we really had no right to say anything about it then. I highly doubt that it would be approved today if it were put on anybody's agenda in the past, given the importance of views. And as Mr. Sabedian quite rightly noted, I think we all bought our properties here because of the view. We could have, for the same amount of money, we could have purchased a place in Atherton without a view, with much more property, or any other flat place that's a beautiful place to live. I know there are other qualities that we enjoy here in Tiburon in addition to our views, but let's face it, I challenge anybody in the audience or in the room to say that they bought their house for anything other than their views of either the Golden Gate Bridge or the bay or the beautiful surroundings that we have here. But given that premise, I was a new neighbor here once 29 years ago, and I had no idea, how strongly the neighbors felt about the views and the qualities of this area. I just know how I felt, and it took me a few years to catch on. So, my sympathies to Mr. Sabedian and his family. It's we're actually all really nice people, but every now and then, when something happens to the view, that's when concerns get raised. I do want to say I don't want to repeat anything in my letter or in the correspondence I've reviewed to date. I will simply say that I've been very impressed by Mr. Sabedian's very prompt and very polite and constructive response. I look forward to working with him and his family to achieve their goals and make everybody in the neighborhood happy. I know it's having been through this process myself, it's not an easy process. It takes years to get plans drawn up and approved by the Design Review Board, and then your building permits, and then the construction project, and on and on. I will say this. Being here as long as I have, I've seen a number of projects, particularly a couple of doors down, that have benefited greatly from the magic of excavation. And it, our neighbors at 4 Bartell Court added a substantial amount of square footage to their property by just digging, and added a complete floor beneath the ground level. And it's, and I'm not suggesting, look, I'm just saying that there are a number of opportunities that can be pursued here. I don't want to tell the Sabedians how to build their house. I simply say that I've seen excavation used very effectively. The other things are just the exterior lighting and exterior planting. We've spent thousands of dollars over the years trimming the bushes and the shrubs and the trees at 2 Audrey Court with the permission of the owners. And obviously we'll continue to do that if we have to, but politely ask that maybe that could be taken into consideration. But again, I look forward to working with the Sabedians, and I appreciate your really prompt and very, very concerned and conscientious response. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Other public comments?
Good evening, I'm Ilona Baum. I'm a resident of 2 Bartell. I've already submitted a very short statement. I'll keep it short and sweet. One, I also wanted to thank the Sabedians. Edians, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, for taking the initiative to eliminate the additional floor. I think that's terrific. I think it's very neighborly, and I think it's the right thing to do. We also, when we did our renovation, went underground because we wanted to keep harmony. And we also try to keep our trees also at a height, and we voluntarily allow neighbors to cut our trees. And I think that's part and parcel of the whole issue. It's the views, and it is regardless of whether or not it's a tree or a structure, I think we all need to live harmoniously. And another issue that I want to encourage the board to consider is not just the height, but also the bulk. And I do note that even if the top floor is eliminated, it looks like it's abutting the King's property. And I don't think we want a bunch of McMansions. So that's another point to consider. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Sorry, if you could just address us.
Oh, I'm
thanks.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No worries.
Okay, usually, you know what? I haven't been here in 25 years. This is the first time.
Consider yourself
I've
lucky.
Come down. Mm-hmm. You're doing a great civic effort. But what I wanted to say is that as soon as the story polls came up, it is a massive amount of space that directly impacts not only I, 23 Meadow Hill, but also our neighbors who I'm speaking for, because they're out of town. So we have impact on Golden Gate Bridge, city views, and as was said before, the bulkiness of it takes out a nice chunk of our bay view. So we are not 300 feet away, so we're actually on Meadow Hill, which comes off Donato, as you know well. But it is a significantly impacted view, and plus it sort of adds insult to injury that we weren't contacted, that 2006 was architecturally problematic, and we had erosion of our view, which we paid taxes on for 25 years. And so, as much as, and we are happy that you're here, but we had some things to say. And my son.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back in Tiburon. I was 23 Meadow Hill was where I was born. And I'm back after 15 years, returned to the Bay Area. And I went for a run, and then I came back, and when I looked, there was massive story poles. And it was just a jutting right into the view that I'd so grown accustomed to growing up with. And so I just want to reiterate, just with the neighbors and the pickets I've lived next to my whole life, and we're both kind of in shock at the changes that are proposed. So we're a very pleasant neighborhood. We know lots of people in this room. We weren't consulted. We weren't notified until these jutting story poles came up. And as my mother mentioned, this is kind of like 2006 all over again. But, we just want to make it clear that we love this neighborhood, and it does do detrimental to our well-being. So, thank you.
Concern is the idea that the variance should just be okay because it's way above what's on the lot line, and they have a wide, large view in their property, probably a better view than us. So when big structures start sort of going out horizontal, it really affects us tremendously. And so we'll be back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Mike Brazzi. I live at 3 Bartel Court here in Tiburon. And ultimately, I think this is going to affect the Kings more than probably anybody else. If you've all been out there, it's dark in the sky. So the fact that they've chosen to basically not have a second level now sort of will truncate what I'm going to say. But we all moved here for the views, so did they. This will affect my views at 3 Bartel Court, where Fox Water views and some of the Belvedere and all that. So if that isn't going to be an issue, great. I certainly look forward to seeing the plans to make sure that that isn't a problem. I don't see how they're really going to add a great deal to this house where it doesn't affect the Kings. I mean, they are so close to each other. I think it's awful that that would actually occur. I'm not necessarily a cheerleader for the Kings. I didn't come here to do that. I just, in terms of what's fair is fair, I think that would be completely unfair. I have to say, if they moved here for the views, they bought a property that had an issue. They knew about it in 2006. You probably should have been a little wise to the fact that you're going to have trouble getting this through, or should have trouble getting this through. I guess the last thing I want to say in terms of also having two usable rooms, I know what they want is to build something bigger where they can have lovely views from bigger rooms, and maybe they should have just bought a different house. But ultimately, I'll be back to check out what they come up with. Thank you.
Thanks. Other public comments?
My name is Tom Ollendorf, and I live at Ada Sella Drive, and we share a common boundary with the 2 Audrey Court. We've been a resident of Ada Sella for the last 42 years, and our objections to the proposed project is not a view situation, since we're on the south side of the property. However, we do have a concern about the privacy issue. The property, as it is today, looks down upon our deck, our master bedroom, another bedroom, and our kitchen. And we feel that with the existing or proposed plan, which I understand now is a different issue, with the expansion would put a greater mass into that area and then reduce our privacy even further. So my issue is really a privacy issue. I also have a concern, the fact is that I think the way the drawings have been submitted is that I think the deck area that they proposed, the new deck area, infringes on the setback. And not only is it a privacy issue, but it's also a question about a variance for a setback issue. The other issue that I'd like to bring up is the issue going back with the proposed 1984 resolution by the planning with regard to the second unit. And there were certain conditions attached to that resolution. And I believe you do have a copy of the minutes from that. And there are certain conditions as far as the size, the occupancy, et cetera, and the annual inspections, which I'm not so sure has taken place over these last 30 some odd years. So I wish the board consider not only a view, but the privacy issue. And unfortunately, I have to report that we have not had any kind of dialogue with the applicant up until noon this afternoon. We haven't had any discussion other than that since the application was put in, and I find that a little bit unusual that we didn't come to discuss, to get our input, et cetera, prior to the application. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other public comments? Going once. Okay. So with that, we'll turn it back over to the applicant. Again, you can take up to 5 minutes to respond to the comments made, and then at that point we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board.
Unfortunately, I thought about writing down the different points too late, so I'm just going to go off of my memory on which items need my addressing. So the issue with the 2006, and I don't know if you guys are aware, there was no issue. There was an approval, and they never actually went ahead with it. There was no extension of any portion of the property. I actually discussed this with Dan, and he brought it up, where he has done ample research going back several tens of years, and that roof line hasn't changed. So while I understand the concerns, and I understand there was a lot of noise around that specific application, and that what may have caused the perception that the roof line changed, the roof line didn't change, the roof color changed. And that was just a staff level renovation that they did once they decided they weren't gonna go through with their approval. That's for the 2006, the setback, I kind of assumed that that question might come up. That's why in the packet I have the actual survey of my property. And the setback that Mr. Ollendorf is referring to is where it states there's 23 feet from our property line to the house. And that's that. I do appreciate all the comments. I hear the comments about the upstairs loud and clear. I think we've already discussed that, so there's not much I can say about that. And I believe that's it.
Just one question on the new deck. The way it appears, at least on the plans, is that it goes up to the setback, and if anything, it actually might even step to fit within the contour of the 15-foot setback. Was that the intent of the design behind it?
It was to not overstep the setback, but yes, go close to it.
Okay, thanks. I mentioned it because I think there was
that's
one comment
we,
that
yeah,
appears
that's
to
why
go
we
into
got
the setback.
The survey done to make sure that, you know, we were within it.
Right, okay. Are there any other questions from the board for the applicant at this time? Seeing none, thanks. Okay, so with that, we'll close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the board. Who'd like to start?
So I'll start. I guess I'll start with the good, which is maybe a short list. And the good is that it seems like the applicant's willing to work with the neighbors and the design that we were originally presented with, and maybe get to something that would be more fitting. As far as I think the challenges are, this area. I mean, we saw another one come through a couple of doors down on Audrey Court not too long ago that tried to add a second story, and it dramatically impacted the uphill neighbors. And I think that what that area is, it's a relatively well-developed area already that has pretty negotiated views from different homes, and a lot of times a change doesn't affect just your uphill neighbor like it does in some neighborhoods. It actually affects people across the way and from other courts, and has the potential to impact quite a few. So for me, you know, I went out and I visited the site. For me to get behind any project there, it would have to have, call it, little to no impact on the neighbors. It's already a relatively large home that's been developed, and I feel kind of was probably negotiated at the time for the neighborhood. As far as the numbers that were presented to us, I kind of looked through them, and yes, I get from a FAR standpoint, I guess that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that a home that is, you know, over 5,000 square feet would put this into, you know, the fourth largest home on this entire list. So that's at least my initial reaction. I agree with staff. However, you know, I think I could get behind maybe one exception if it was something that was little to no impact from a view standpoint. But when you add up the two requested variances along with the view impact, et cetera. It's pretty much a non-starter for me, and would have liked to see you know, the applicants involved, the neighborhoods, and kind of really understand from the neighbor's point of view what the impact would have been maybe before we all got together here on a wonderful third Thursday of the month to debate a project that doesn't seem like it's even close to getting at least my support.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the initial application, you know, it was a non-starter because it had such huge impact on adverse impacts on the neighbors, and that's basically how far I went in my analysis of it. It's like, okay, that's not going to work. Now that's gone away, and we don't have floor plans of what is being proposed, it's very difficult to say. We say, yes, okay, the thing that was a non-starter is now gone, but I can't really comment on the other aspects of the plan because we haven't studied it in detail. We haven't had the information until this minute. I do think that design for the garage looks really impractical, and I'm not sure that it's actually it's within the setbacks, but is it a usable space? I think Dan would have to say whether there's any. I don't think there's anything that says you have to be able to turn around in the site, so it's fair enough that you reverse into it, or you have to reverse out. But it still doesn't look it look particularly usable. I think there is potential, possibly without actually affecting the outside of the building at all, in excavating the very high crawl spaces under the building, which are already nearly 6 feet, I think, that if they're desperate to add an area, they could look at that area. And standing down there, we walk around the outside of the lot, but you still get a view from those little bedrooms. So it's something that could be done without having any external impact on anybody, and then it would be very difficult to say, well, okay, you can't do it. But that's as far as I can go at the moment without seeing a full application.
Okay.
Linda or John?
Yeah, my understanding is that we're just trying to give the applicants some kind of direction on where to go, and I think for me, the first thing that I can say is we've got to talk to the neighbors, but you already know that. Now, you just got to talk to the neighbors. Show them the new set of plans, and you know, you're never going to get a consensus, but you want to get a close approximation of something that everybody can sort of live with. The other thing is, for this kind of development, I would have liked to seen a landscape plan, and there was none submitted, really. What they called a landscape plan was not a landscape plan, so I would like to see a landscape plan of existing trees, ones that they intend to take out, what they intend to replant. The third thing is that it's going to be a difficult site. I don't see how they're going to get anything done without some excavation, because I really can't get behind any addition to the second story. Looks like there's other places on the lot you could go, but you're going to have to. It's going to be a lot more expense, I guess, and that seems like might make people happy, but then again, you have neighbors, and the house kind of looms down on the neighbors on the Sela, yeah. So it's a difficult lot to work with, and good luck.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around not having a second floor, because I don't know if this is going to be a simple one to say no. It was so intrusive, it was alarming. You know, there are certain things that came up tonight that, you know, some things we have control over and we don't. You know, in terms of what was approved in the past, I think we've discussed this before, that's the peril of waiting when there's another board, because we interpret it in a way that, in my opinion, I don't think that the house that's there now would be approved like that through this board. When there are other architectural solutions, instead of having this big high peak sticking up in the neighbor's view that does nothing, there's a flat ceiling in there, and that's just blank attic. So it was only done for architectural expression, and that's just wrong. But it can't be used as a bartering thing, saying lower the roof and you get to do this, so we don't do that. I agree about the turnaround. I think that if you look at almost all the houses there, they back out onto the street. So it isn't the loss of the turnaround. It is, as Gordon said, I think that the garage that's going in is awkward. And it is kind of encroaching even more into the common space, not common space, but the visual space of the neighbor. So, you know, so I wonder about that. The FAR and lot coverage, usually when both of those are impacted as much as this, we consider it the lots overbuilt. And the architecture of that building makes it feel overbuilt. It just exacerbates the problem. So I don't know. I'm struggling with how much I'd allow it to go over on those things when it's so close to being the appropriate lot size for the zoning. So that concerns me. And just reading, just one last thing, reading in about the second unit that the applicant provided, it says that the maximum size should be 689 square feet. They were proposing 824. So that's one thing. Now, and I'll end with, I really appreciate the applicant recognizing the problem and starting to talk to the neighbors and companies, trying to come up with another solution.
Okay. Yeah, look, I in short, you know, I think echo virtually everything that's been said. You know, in reviewing the plans and visiting the site and trying to, you know, assess the viability of the application, you know, in a little bit of a vacuum before coming in tonight, I was just, you know, ready to be, you know, a very frustrated board member that, you know, just doesn't really like all of us and everyone here, just basically wasting our time on an application that is so far from the mark of anything that would ever be acceptable. And then the applicant came in, and of course they're like super nice and, you know, kind of apologetic for, you know, having brought us this and even presents new stuff on the fly. So, you know, it's hard to be as angry when, you know, it turns out they're nice people. So, I think it's exactly right that the existing house would never be built today. It is top heavy. It is awkward looking to the point that it strains the eye. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, but it's just aesthetically challenged. And to me, the application makes that worse by making it bigger, which is just to say, like, harder to miss. You know, this is one of those things that makes renovating just as expensive and hard as it is, but you know, I think to the extent that there's going to be expansion, it needs to be done in a way that really conforms to things like the hillside guidelines and mitigates the top heaviness of the structure. And I think that I would really like to see that be more of the focus in a redesign that comes back, instead of just figuring out where a wall can be popped out practically and with as little expense as possible using the same materials and everything else. What I'd really like, and I recognize that, you know, we don't design houses, but what I'd really like is just something that brings more design into this and puts design ahead of, I'd say ahead of function, but I'm not sure things like the garage are very functional to begin with. So I guess what I'd like to see is more design and more function. But in any event, you know, aside from that, I mean, the tax assessor, you know, the reality is that the way FAR is calculated is not just a straight count of square footage. It's very formula-based that excludes certain things that are categorically that I don't know that the tax assessor aligns with. So I think it's easy to be led astray by looking at what the tax assessor says the square footage is, and then just doing formulas. And the other reality is that, you know, every house is a piecemeal, one-at-a-time approval. And each of those houses, like the one immediately next to it, that is, you know, a relatively large, functionally single-story home, you know, has been looked at on an individual basis. So in any event, it's hard to look at a spreadsheet and say, well, you know, on average they're 750 feet over, so therefore this should be too. It just doesn't really work. Lastly, it sounds like, you know, the applicant has learned a lot about neighborhood outreach. I would encourage them to, aside from interacting with the neighbors, you know, once new proposed plans are in existence, have a gathering. I suggest serving alcohol. Do or not is up to the applicant. We did, and it worked great. So I'll leave it at that, and I think we're all on the same page and saying the same things. And
yeah, it's rare that the we occasionally see the, especially for a first time around, if the board wishes to deny the application statement from staff, but I'd be intent to lean toward a continuance to give a chance for a redo.
Yeah, I agree, and certainly, you know, I mean, a part of it is that the applicant certainly has an eagerness to do so and has already spent, I think, a fair amount of time on, you know, a redesign that excludes the most offensive parts, so.
And I'll add, I agree with Lynn. I think the plans could maybe be a bit more detailed. If the inaccuracies on the existing elevations, a landscape plan, there's, I think, some additional detail that could be added to the set of plans that that we didn't get this time around. I assume my two architects will agree with me.
We're done.
Yeah, I'd like to just expand on what you were saying, Michael, about the numbers. Is that the numbers, you can make numbers say what they want, whatever you want. But the comparison of the numbers, as you said, it's what you see visually and how those square footages are presented to you. You can present two houses of exactly the same size in totally different ways. In the way it works into the hillside, the way the architecture is done. And this one, just by its nature, presents itself actually bigger than it is. And that's the problem with adding more to that ball. So.
Totally agree. Do you have a suggestion for a proposed date for continuing?
The next one would be May 19th.
Was that okay with the applicant?
Plans
would that work
plans
for
would
a date
to
come
in
out?
By when?
They would need to be in by May 9th.
Is that going to
work?
You can always add it. You can always continue it from that date if you need to.
And in that case, we would need you guys to verbally accept the 90-day exception to the Permit Streamlining Act.
Yeah, the point is that the Permit Streamlining Act otherwise forces us into a thumbs up, thumbs down kind of binary situation, which for today would obviously be thumbs down. So, okay. Thanks. Would you like to make a motion to continue
regarding
May 19th?
Audrey Court, I make a motion that we have another meeting on May 19th.
Continuous. Okay. Seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against? None. So with that, we'll see you May 19th or whatever date you decide to extend to. I do ask that members of the public leave quietly because we have one more item in the agenda, and that's to review and adopt the minutes from the April 7th, 2016 meeting. Did anyone have any comments? Sorry, we'll have to, I can talk to you briefly after if you have any questions, but the portion of the hearing on Audrey is closed.
It'll be submitted
to
staff and
become
part of the public
record. I think they'll be happy to provide copies. Sorry, back to the meeting at hand.
I didn't see any problems.
No, I didn't have any comments.
Okay. Regarding the meetings, regarding the minutes of the meeting for April 7th, I make a motion that they are approved.
Seconded?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Good night.
Thank you.